Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been studying the Holy Spirit and how He's calling us and moving us and changing us. His number one goal and role is for you to be transformed. And that's the goal of God and the Holy Spirit in our life, is that we be transformed into the image of Christ. Did you hear that? Don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. God wants you and I to demonstrate to the world His credibility. Amen?
Amen?
That's what He's looking for. And He wants us to walk in His image. We've been created in His image, right? So, all right. We've been talking about this, the Holy Spirit, and it's a powerful thing. Let's just, you know, we've been looking at the Trinity and this idea of, the signs out there, in 29, Jesus is not God, and on 47, I told you, when we went to Tennessee, we saw the same signs, and also I went to Greenville the other night, we went to dinner, and they had the same signs there, in Greenville. They're all over. Those are just signs of the times. Yeah, they're signs of the times. And so just beware. That sign is not, the Holy Spirit is not in that sign. And the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with those signs. All right? So let's go ahead and let's go to Tim. Give me... the vision first, and then give me 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, like I said, we all have a gift. All of us do. And God has given it to you so you can minister to other people with your gift. The word minister means serve. You can serve your, it's a privilege to serve other people, your gift. When you're doing that, you know what? It's fulfillment in your life. It brings fulfillment in your life.
Come on.
And you know what? When you're married and you serve that gift to your spouse and they serve gifts, it's like it creates paradise. When your marriage is always in strife and upside down, because you don't understand what I'm talking about. When you understand, you're going to start serving, and it brings paradise in your life.
Yeah.
But you see, this is not, you can't look at your parents, you can't look, this is for you. Each one of us has to understand this. Because we don't, see, you've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, if you're born again. See, corruptible seed was the first time around. from your father. Doubt was the corruptible. Well, my dad was a good man. My dad was too. But his seed was corrupt. Are you hearing me? Now you've been born of an incorruptible seed.
Amen. That's right.
And that's what God is changing you to. He's getting rid of the corruptible and bringing in the incorruptible.
Hallelujah.
That's what makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now you got to change to the new.
That's right.
And that's what where the pain is. I can't do things the way I used to. I can't call the people I used to call up when I'm going through something. I can't get a hold of the people that used to help me out, give me a few drinks or a few blunts or smokes or whatever you call them. In it. Joints is what we called them. Doobies. And I'm not just being funny. That was back in high school. I haven't touched it since then.
Amen.
So it ain't like what I was yesterday. No, that's back in high school. I'm 69 years old. Huh? And that stuff is still going. You don't need that in your life. That brings corruption into your life. He's trying to get the incorruptible. He's trying to get the corruptible out. See, you got to learn how to manage this new part of you. See, when you get blessed, oh, this is great. God is so good.
Oh,
now you got to look over. Now I got to manage this new area of my life. I got to start stewarding this new area of my life in a whole nother way. Come on now. Am I making sense? Does this make sense or not?
Yes.
Because look, if you don't, you're staying in your old life. He said all things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things that are new, that's where the challenge is. And that's where it gets difficult. But that's what the Holy Spirit is calling you to, the new. He's trying to show you the you you haven't met yet, the new you. Look at the person next to you and say, the new you. That's what he's doing. Now, so what did he say? He said, be hospitable. Without what? Grumbling. Grumbling, murmuring and complaining. Now pay attention. See, we're to be hospitable. When you see new people coming in here, you ought to treat them like a king coming in here. You ought to address them and honor them and say, how can I help you? Can I get you a cup of coffee? How can I serve you? Let me get you a gift bag. Let me help you out. Serve them. You see that? Hospitable. Because they're coming in here. We're all sick.
Yeah.
We need help.
Yeah.
And God has designed the body of Christ to help each other. That's why he says, purify your souls. In purifying your souls, by obeying the truth, through the Spirit, love one another, in sincere love one another. See that? When you obey the truth and you're growing and maturing, you're ready to serve everybody, even your enemies. Did you hear what I just said? And some of them are going to be in the church. I'm just talking. But you have to learn, if I'm going to be in the church, that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against, I got to grow and I got to mature. And that's what God is calling us to. Okay? Is this too much for you?
No.
Now look. Each one has received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Many folds of grace. We have to learn to give grace to people. We got to give grace to people. People who we don't understand. People who don't understand us. We need to keep giving them grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. We're supposed to be giving them unmerited favor. Even though they don't deserve it. You see what I'm saying? So, we've been looking at this. And I want you to... Go with me quickly to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. We're going to look at this. So he started out, he says, be hospitable without grumbling. See, grumbling is murmuring and complaining. Remember we talked about that. What's complain mean? Come means to blame. Plain means lot in life. So in other words, when you complain about other people, you're blaming them for your lot in life. Remember my wife, I taught on that a couple Wednesdays ago, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. We were zone sleeping. And I tell you what, she had all the covers. And she doesn't even use them. You see what I mean? She doesn't even use the covers, but she don't want no covers. She's going through this pause thing, right? And so she's got three fans. She's got the air conditioning turned down and the big fan on top on high, blowing down. And then we got this new cone fan that's fireballing air out of there. And then you got this little oscillator that goes back and forth. And then I am with my robe on, my winter pajamas, I'm telling you, gospel truth, everything on, and I'm froze. And then she's got the covers off of me. I said, I'm about to freeze. You know what she says to me? She's still sleeping. Don't blame me for your lot in life. I know I told you guys, but I just think that's funny. Because, see, she had that in her spirit. I said, did you hear what next morning? I said, did you hear what you said to me? She goes, I know I said something, but I don't even know what I said. I said, yeah, you said, don't blame me for your lot in life. We laugh. I said, that was funny. But anyways, I'm trying to lighten you up because we're getting ready to get into something here. You ready?
We're ready.
All right. Now go, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Paul is addressing the gifts of the Spirit in the church, and there was a lot of pagan worship and a lot of stuff going on, and so he's trying to help people understand. I was taught in Bible college that God has given 12 spirits, or 12 gifts. God has given 12 gifts. The Holy Spirit in this chapter has given 9 gifts. And then Jesus handed out 5 gifts when he ascended into heaven. It says he first descended, he went to hell. He took all the authority from the devil. And as he descended and ascended, he distributed these 5 gifts. Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
Remember?
Amen.
And the equipping means to heal a broken bone or to mend the net. So when we're being equipped, we're being healed, and there's areas of our life that things were slipping through to keep us from prospering, to keep us from increasing. You see that? And that's why you got to stay in church where you're being equipped so you can hold and steward what God has called you to.
Amen.
So now listen to me. Listen to me. This is huge. That's why it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Everybody say ignorant. Okay. Now, I want to elaborate on this word ignorant. Remember, it means destitute of knowledge. We have a student here. I knew what it meant, but she said it, destitute of knowledge. That's what happens. When you're ignorant, you're destitute of knowledge. You're in need of an answer. Now, listen. So, Tim, go with me quickly to 2 Corinthians 2:11. And we'll get back to that verse, okay? All right. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Now look what it says. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of us are going through things and we feel like we're being used. You ever feel like you're being used by people? You ever feel like people are using you? The only way you can avoid being used by people, listen to me, is refuse to be used by God. The only way you can avoid being used by people is to refuse to be used by God. Because if you're going to be used by God, people are going to use you. And that's where you need some development. That's where I need development. We all need development. Because God wants you to be in such a place of maturity, the way you used to act toward somebody, you don't act that way anymore. The way you used to treat somebody, you don't treat them that way. What you used to go for your relief and for your dependency, you don't go there anymore. He wants you to go to him. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? This is what he's doing in the church that hell can't prevail against. Now listen. So now look what he says. Who's our biggest enemy? I said, who's our biggest enemy? Your flesh, not Satan. But Satan ministers to your flesh the way the Holy Spirit ministers to your spirit. Satan is always, he knows what to send your flesh. And he has all these cohorts working for him. He's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere at one place. He's not omnipresent. He can't just be everywhere. He can only be one place at a time. So he has all these demons and cohorts working for him. He'll send somebody. God uses people. The devil uses people. The devil will send somebody to cause a disruption in your life or in your family. And so that's why when he sends somebody that causes a disruption, you got to understand this disruption. I'm of the incorruptible. This disruption can't corrupt me no more. Did you catch that? You didn't catch it. You'll catch it as we keep on. Because this is important, folks. This is huge. Now look what he says. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm elaborating on this word, but here I want you to see. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. He wants to take advantage of you and me. Everybody. He doesn't care if you're a Christian. He just doesn't want you to grow and mature. Because when you grow and mature, now you put a stick in his spokes.
Amen.
You see that?
That's right.
When you start to grow and mature, you put a stick in his spokes. Amen. And now you're discovering who you are.
Amen.
Your true identity. He's showing you the you you haven't met yet. Because you see, if you're just living under that old seed, you don't even know who you are. And you're blaming everything on your father. Your father may not even be alive. You may not even be around. Did you hear what I just said? When God becomes your father, now you're of the incorruptible.
Yeah, that's right.
And this changes things. And now you got to learn how to live. Now watch. He says, lest Satan should take advantage. I want to open up this word advantage. This word advantage is the word, the Greek word, pleonekteo. Pleonekteo. So there you go. Don't worry about how I said it. It's a Greek word, and Greek words are important because the New Testament is written in Greek. So now you're paying attention? Remember, if you don't pay attention now, it's going to cost you later, right?
Yeah.
This is what this word advantage means in the Greek. The Greek is very pictorial. It means to outwit. To outwit. It means to trick. It means to take advantage of someone through some sinister or sneaky means. Did you hear that? The enemy is constantly studying your life. He wants to take advantage of you so you don't become effective in being a Christian, being a believer, advancing God's kingdom. He wants to keep you in the dark because he wants to advance his kingdom. He uses Christians to advance his kingdom. Huh? He uses the people in the church to advance his kingdom. The devil does. When you've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. But if you're ignorant of that, you will continue to advance the enemy's kingdom. Now listen, listen, listen. It's a compound word. It's a compound word. P-L-E-O-N means more. 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 And the word... And here's the other side of the word, echo, E-C-H-O. It means more, and it means to have. More. He wants more of your life under his control. That's how he wants to take advantage of you. And when you stay away from a Bible-believing church, prophesying and speaking God's truth over your life, that's what the enemy's doing. He's getting more and more of your life because he wants to control you. And you see, if you hang around, if you want your life to change, you better start looking at your values.
That's right.
Amen.
If you want to go to the bar, that's the values you're going to get.
Right.
If you want to be an old flea bag, you're going to hang around with dogs. Am I making sense? Come on now. When you hang around dogs, you get fleas, right? Listen to me. And their values. But you hang around believers, true believers, now you start to get some of their values.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You get some of their values. That's why you want to make sure you're spending time in places with people who value what you value.
Amen.
Did you catch what I just said?
Yeah.
You know what, if you didn't? Too bad. I feel for you. God has got something for you. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Now watch. Together, these two words, listen to what they mean. The word P-L-E-O-N, more, second half, E-C-H-O, means to have. And this is what they mean. Together, these two words is the P-L-E-O-N-E-K-T-O. Which denotes, listen to me, a desire for more and more. This is what it is. It's the word, this is where the root word it comes from. Now see, you got to study Greek words. And this is the Greek word, P-L-E-O-N-E-X-I-A. It means greedy. Greedy. It means greedy. So the enemy is greedy. He wants your life. More and more of your life. He's greedy for your life. Did you hear me? That's why when you complain and murmur, it says in Jude 13, these are grumblers and complainers. These are grumblers and complainers. Complaining about their own lustful desires. So people who complain and murmur all the time, it's selfishness. It's steeped in their own selfish desires, and the enemy is behind it. If somebody in your life is complaining and murmuring all the time, you better, that ought to be a red flag. And you ought to say, you know what? These aren't garbage cans. That's the way I used to say it. I'm saying it this way 20 years later now. These aren't garbage cans. Tell them, I can't be around that. Am I making sense? Because when you complain and murmur, it's all about you. Because see, when you start to understand, you know you need you some mercy. You know you need grace. You know that you don't have it all together. I know I don't have it all together. Come on now. Am I making sense? Okay, now, this is what it means. It pictures someone whose lust for something is so intense that he will take any action required to obtain it, what he wants. Paul used this word about Satan so we can be alerted to the fact that Satan desperately wants something in his control. He wants you and me. He will deviously and artfully endeavor to outwit us, to trick us, to dominate us, and ultimately to take us hostage. That's why Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's what we can't be. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. Amen. Because that's what he wants.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you're hanging around people that are always complaining and fault finding, let that be a red flag. It starts at home. If your spouse is doing it, okay, let's sit down at the table and talk about it. Let's put the problem on, you're not the problem, I'm not the problem. Let's put the problem on the table and now we'll discuss it. That's how you do it. You see that? That's a biblical way to do it. And God will help bring you a solution. When you pray together, God will bring a solution. Now pay attention, this is huge. When you have an enemy who hates you this much and who wants to destroy you, you can't afford to be ignorant. Paul was invading new territory with the gospel. We're invading territory with the gospel. In this church, we got people being baptized next week. We got kids going to school. It's a big school bash. We're trying to help these children follow Jesus. Is this making sense?
Amen.
We need to understand it takes unity. It takes you and I edifying and building each other up, not tearing each other down. When you tear each other down, you're affecting the whole community. You're affecting the children. You're affecting everything. Am I making sense? The worst thing you can do is speak evil and tear somebody down. Stop it, amen?
Amen.
I've always said, if I'm in the community and somebody comes up and wants to talk negative about somebody in this church, I always look for 20 things to say good about them. Because they're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And that person chirping and jabbing and jiving ain't perfect either. Are you listening to me? And this is why we got to understand. See, you know what? When you start to grow and mature, you start to discern. And now you don't. You don't even have to get anybody back anymore. You just stay in who you are, and you pray. That's what I've learned to do. I know I need me some mercy. I give mercy.
Amen.
Now watch. When we are facing mere human problems or a planned demonic attack, we need to know where it's coming from. If you are facing demonic turbulence sent from hell to disrupt God's plan, you need to know where it's coming from. Amen.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.